freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock here has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk here on 710 ESPN Seattle. 710sports.com. I'm in studio. Brock is in Salt Lake City.
What's up, baby?
Oh, wow.
What's going on?
How are we doing?
I'm doing so good.
So good?
So good.
What's up in Salt Lake?
Oh, you know, it was hopping last night, man. The clubs were hopping till the early hours of.
No,
and then I remember Coach Dungy's rules, like nothing good happens in the early hours of. So I was out. I left, man. It was wild in Salt Lake City.
I've been to Salt Lake City. Our corporate offices are in Salt Lake City, and I had to go there a few times.
I just couldn't. It felt like South Beach. I went from Miami last week to Salt Lake City. You could hardly tell the two apart, man. It was wild.
I like Salt Lake City. It's a nice city. I've never been anywhere so empty. It is so strange. It's like a ghost town. And it's like a rapidly growing city. And like every year you look at it, it's like one of the nicest places to live. There's no one there. It's so bizarre. They have these gigantic streets and these huge blocks, and there's no one. There's no one there. It's so strange.
It's because you weren't out partying until 2 a.m. Everybody sleeps all day, so they can just be out all night.
Is that what it is?
Yep, that's what it was last night.
It's like Ibiza or something. It's like, all right. I don't think it's like that at all.
Anywho.
Well, the Seahawks are taking off, Brock. See you later. They're off to London.
Have they landed yet on their 48-hour trip?
They are wheels on the ground.
Wheels on the ground.
Oh, at about 6:20, I believe, local time.
Okay, so about 40 minutes ago, the Seahawks actually landed in London for the big takeover.
Lots of 12s over there, though. Lots of 12s already over there. I've seen pictures all over Twitter. Clayton, you know, the party really doesn't start till he lands.
Well, that's not till tomorrow. I mean, John leaves today, gets there in 2 or 3 days. It's a complicated process. We'll talk to him about it today, coming up in about 15 minutes. I think we're going to talk to Lydia, who is in London. We're expecting to talk to her today at 8:30, if we can connect the cell phones. We're expecting to talk to Dave Wyman, who was already touched down in London at 9 o'clock this morning. Dave was a little nervous about the flight, so I'm curious to see what state he will be in.
Did you hear? I don't know if I should say this at 7:03, but I was, I think, drinking a Diet Coke and spit it out in my car when I heard Dave say this 2 days ago in their 3 o'clock hour. He was like, well, Danny said, well, what are you going to do, Dave? You going to knock yourself out? He's like, I don't know, man. He's like, you should. You got to, you know, take some drinks or whatever and try to knock yourself out. He's like, if I do that, I may wet my pants, though. I just don't know. Dave has this, like, fascination and curiosity. He packs so many drawers. I don't know why, but he's just so deathly afraid that he's just going to, like, wet himself. He's like, I can't do that. I don't trust myself.
He's got a real fear of that. They're always talking about it on the show. I don't get it. Something that doesn't come up very often in my life.
I think we traveled to Oakland for preseason. He's like, how many drawers do you bring? I'm like, what?
Two?
Yeah, I was like, yeah. I mean, it's one night. I think I just brought one. One? Are you serious?
I will say, whenever I travel anywhere, I take the number of days I'm going to be there and then add one extra pair of boxers.
Always. Okay. That's the exact calculation I make.
All right, I'm going away Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's four. I take five pairs of boxers every time. But it's more in case, like, I take an extra shower during the day. Like, in case
you work out.
You get sweaty, you got to come back, and you need to get two pairs in a day.
Exactly.
It's not because you anticipate soiling
It's yourself. Never been because of an anticipation of wetting or soiling myself. That's
big
never,
fear.
It's never
you
come
gotta
up
ask Dave
me.
About that. Nine. Right. Big, big fear.
How big a game is this for the Seahawks?
Yeah, Mike.
Or at least for the fans.
Yeah, pretty big. I was driving around town this morning and listening to some of the different sports talk, and there's a Thursday night game tonight, and it was pretty fascinating, actually. And they were talking about Philadelphia. And what's happened to Philadelphia? They won a Super Bowl last year, and now they're a mess. They're 2-3. And the host said, isn't it amazing how different 2-4 versus 3-3 feels? And we talked about this earlier in the year when the team was 0-2 and Dallas was coming in. I was like, a must win. You can't be 0-3. But you get to 1-2, you can turn the corner 2-2. You get to 3-3, it feels like everything with a bye week especially is in front of you. But you lose this at 2-4, and it just feels like a huge hole. And I don't know if that's just more psychological than anything else, because obviously, you know, you're 0-2, you got back to 2-2. You're 2-4, you can get back to 4-4. But 2-4 versus 3-3, and especially with a bye week and this thing set up at home in the second half of the year, feels just dramatically different. And on top of it, you know, this is a 1-4 opponent that bickers, that's got a head coach that has turned things upside down, that season has gone the wrong way, where there were really expectations for them with a veteran team and pieces he brought in to win the AFC West, and that ain't happening. So, yeah, this is a game, I might think, Mike, that sets up in many ways to win. I'll give you three quick ways to, and why I want them to win this so badly. Not only the psychology of it, but number one, and most importantly, I think this further enhances the belief in the Seahawks building from the top down, from management to coaching staff to players to the front desk, that everybody's like, yeah, you know what? We lost a lot of Pro Bowlers, but man, did we replenish? And are these new pieces finding their footing and really finding our identity? And number two, I'd really like to beat Marshawn. I'd really like the story to be to get after Marshawn Lynch, a guy that ultimately did not want to be here at all. He took your money. He ran with it. He retired. He was out. He did not want to be a Seahawk. Would love to see them win the game. Yes.
What?
And then lastly.
Brock, hey, come on. Let me cut you off here.
What?
You want to beat Marshawn because you don't like the way he acts. But he gave Doug Baldwin his backpack.
That's true.
Do you not understand that he gave Doug his backpack, Brock?
One of the simplest stories. There was a receiver, a young receiver on our team, and he came, and Marshawn had a backpack. And the young receiver's like, dang, that's a nice backpack. Where'd you get it from? And he literally takes it off his back, dumps out all his stuff, and says, here, you can have it. Grabs his stuff and goes to the locker room. And he's just, like, as simple and as plain as that. Like, Marshawn would, didn't matter who you were, if you respected him and loved him for him as a person and for who he was, he would give you the shirt. Literally, he would give you his backpack off his back. You know? I thought that was just the epitome of the man that he was.
Who was the receiver?
Me.
It was me.
Yeah, but the team that paid him $10 million a year, he just stuck his finger out and took the money and just ran. And he poisoned the whole compete every day well. And I heard some of the guys on the station yesterday say, oh, he was just beloved. Everybody just loved him, you know, from Doug on down, coaches, players, everybody. No, not true. Certainly there were some players that absolutely loved him, like Doug Baldwin. But there were a lot of coaches and people in management just drove him crazy. Just drove him absolutely nuts, even
yeah,
Pete.
I think they kind of loved him, too, though. They loved him even though they were annoyed.
Not the last
him,
few
truly
years.
Truly yours, your biggest fan. This is Stan.
Yeah, like they kind of loved
him. Yeah, also... they loved the show in 12 and 13 and in 14. But after that, and maybe even into 14, not so much. And then lastly, you know, just as a side note, you win, you get to, you know, 3-3, and you start to win the second half. You got a trade deadline with actually a couple pieces, maybe in the running back room or some other spots that if you can be creative, John has always shown a risk to take, and I think there's some speed or a pass rush or just anything on that trade market that may be available to take a little risk and jump on. So
I don't know if I'm there with
those are three reasons right there, buddy.
All right, well, I'm glad
you're only there with one. You don't like two or three, but that's okay.
I would say that's true. I mean, look, I want to beat Marshawn too. I mean, I you know, as I said, it you're right about all the things he did towards the end here. I still like Marshawn. I can't help it.
Sure, but he's on the other side. He wants to beat you.
I still want to beat him.
What did he say? Want to, in your face?
I don't want to beat him the way I want to beat Richard Sherman, though. Like, it's not even close. Like,
yeah,
I want them to repeatedly throw at Richard Sherman and, like, embarrass him. I want them to destroy Richard Sherman. I kind of, like, would be okay with Marshawn Lynch running for 100 yards and the Seahawks winning. Like, how do you not love Marshawn? How do you not love watching him? Like, I just feel differently
about
him. Like, what would that do for you personally? Bro, it would fuel you?
Nothing? No?
What would you get from
Did he FedEx a Beast Mode backpack to you yesterday?
He did. $39.99. And
where's
now he's bought my loyalty
jacket
for life.
Jeez. Did he embroider Mike Salk?
Do you not
Salk
know how
cursive
real he is? I mean, like, he's not like some of the other teammates on this team. Brock, he's real.
We live in a world where everybody's projecting this facade of, you know, you see on Instagram, you see it on Facebook, you see it on Twitter. Everybody's trying to project this facade, and he was not about that. You know, he was genuinely who he was, whether it was in the media, at my house for my birthday, in the locker room, out on the street with his family. It didn't matter. He was who he was, and I think that speaks more volumes about the fun or the type of person that he was that he brought to this locker room more so than anything. 3, 2, 1,
go! We talk about Doug. We talk about. We talk about Doug. We talk about. We talk about Doug. We talk about. We talk about Doug.
Oh, sorry about that. I was just twerking in the room. Someone walked by. I'm sorry. I can't do that in Salt Lake.
Thankfully, Kyle has the has the stream video pulled way back, so nobody can see me head dancing in
this
my
person
chair.
Just walked by as I was twerking in here. That's
I can't
bad.
Wait to talk to the professor in 5 minutes about London. Right now, it's 7:10. Time for Need to Know.
Need to Know. The voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
I think we've lost Howdy back there. Howdy's disappeared. He's laughing so hard back there.
I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Seahawks touchdown in London less than an hour ago, Brock. It is just after 3 o'clock local time in Britain, which is incredibly confusing for a lot of people, including some that are traveling there. We'll talk to Dave Wyman live from London at 9 o'clock, and the hope is to talk to Lydia Cruz at 8:30 this morning. I think it's kind of cool if the Seahawks are going there. I'm glad they're not playing this game at, like, the... Remember sometimes they've done this with Jacksonville, and they play the early game at 7 a.m. our time?
Kick-y.
No, thank you. I'm glad this game is going to be 10 o'clock, and no complaining about the early kick, because it'll be exactly the same problems for the Raiders.
I'll tell you what's interesting is that the Raiders are doing things a little different. I don't think they're leaving until today. John Gruden has come out and just said how against this trip that he is, and the Seahawks are doing a little different. They're doing it first class. They've spent, you know, all offseason getting ready for this. They've put more science and study into this as far as sleep and hydration. What I understand is they get off the plane, they're actually going to practice, get a little workout in today, and try to get those guys on schedule as fast as they possibly can. And hopefully all of those science and nutrition advantages pay off come Sunday at 10 a.m.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
All right, let's go run through the Seahawks injury report, which came out for the first time yesterday. Some were not surprising. Russell Wilson and Doug Baldwin both still listed on the injury report, but as full participants in practice. No expectation that K.J. Wright will be able to go in this one. Same with Rasheem Green. But here was a new name, Nick Vinette, sitting out practice with a back injury. That is problematic because they're not exactly littered with tight ends at the moment. UW's Darrell Daniels, is the only other tight end on the roster right now. Can they bring back that Swoops dude? That guy made every catch in training camp.
Signed him to the practice squad yesterday.
Yeah, we'll bring him up to the regular. That guy catches everything. He catches everything when you watch them in practice.
I think he's traveling with Clayton today via Houston on his way to
London.
He's
not going to make it in time for Sunday.
He's going to be a travel partner with Mr. Clayton on his way there. I wonder when. I think that happened when he blocked Ndamukong Suh on that pass protection to Nick Vinette there in the second half, a situation that was not good for anybody. That's a bit of a bummer because as hard as I am on Nick Vinette, and I maybe have been harder on him than any Seahawk here in recent memory, he's been productive for him. They've been good. He's not been dropping the passes as he did a year ago. He's given you everything he has as a blocker, albeit a little bit limited. And yeah, this is a sticky situation at tight end, and going to limit some of their personnel options. And I'll say it again, you know, after this bye week, you should get KJ and Ed Dixon back, and those are two starters and two pretty significant pieces this team needs.
You are hard on Nick Vinette.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
All right, this is a little confusing, so try to bear with us here. A Sports Illustrated report revealed that a Pac-12 vice president called the conference replay center in the middle of a game and ordered a targeting call be overturned in the USC-Wazoo game on September 21st. Now, to be clear, this is not the hit on Gardner Minshew that everyone in the world thought was targeting, but for whatever reason was not even reviewed. Right?
Everybody but Larry Scott, originally.
Everyone in the world looked at him and was like, well, that's clearly targeting. He hit him directly in the jaw.
But Larry did not.
Larry's like, nah, we just didn't see it that way. It's totally fine. This is a different targeting hit that was overturned, and apparently a third party called it. Brock, that is calling into question the very nature of the game. What are we doing? This is like can you imagine, Brock? If a professional sport had some sort of a scandal where there was a referee that was fixing games, it would basically end that sport as we know it.
And that guy spent time in the slammer.
I certainly hope that doesn't happen to the Pac-12.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. If there's something that's going to finally resonate possibly with the presidents on campuses, and that's about the last, I think, strongest bond that Larry Scott has. It's not necessarily with media partners. It's not necessarily certainly with ADs and coaches in his conference. But I think he's made a pretty stable and reliable connection with the presidents. This is one that may get to their level and be like, what? What are we doing here? And this, and credit to Pete Dammel and Sports Illustrated. The officials have a log and keep a record of all their calls, and somehow this came to light of the officials saying, yep, we called it targeting on the field. It was confirmed in the booth, and then that independent third party came in, and Pete did his dig in, and this is a really bad look for Mr. Scott.
All right, there you go. Three things you need to know every morning at 7:10. I'm sure, Brock, that people will revolt. It's very important to them that every single league have, you know, the exact...
Level up.
Yeah, they've all got to be on the level. I mean, certainly, if Tim Donaghy is caught cheating in games and fixing them, I'm sure the NBA would just fold at that point.
Probably,
everybody would be so taken aback that such a thing should occur.
Get to the professor.
All right. Well, he's not ready yet.
Oh, he's not.
Oh, yes, he is.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Song.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. And the price is only going to go up.
Every morning at 7:15.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to
totally break everything down.
Plus, a wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
Yeah, I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Song.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Are you ready?
No.
What do you mean, no? You're leaving in like a matter of minutes.
You're right. That's correct.
Why aren't you ready?
I don't know if I got all the right stuff.
Well, what do you need? Did you pack?
I packed, yeah.
How many days are you going for?
Four.
Four nights or 4 days? Three nights?
All right. Well, let's put it this way. One night is in the air, I guess.
All right.
So I guess three nights.
All right.
Friday
so three
night,
nights.
Saturday night, and Sunday.
All right. How many pairs of underwear do you bring for three nights, 4 days?
Three.
I want to bring one more, I think, John. I feel like you got to go with one extra just in case you've got to take an extra shower in there somewhere.
Oh, okay. No, I'm going with three.
Okay.
I've already packed that.
All right. Well,
thanks for the advice.
What haven't you packed that you're worried about?
I don't know. I mean, it's like, having never been there, it's like, I don't know if I'm missing something. I always pack light. And, you know, for the most part, I don't even know how much time I'm going to get away from the hotel.
Mm. Do you have a top hat or anything?
What's that?
You have a top hat. What?
A top hat?
Yeah.
No, I have a cap.
All right. A cap. Oh, that's good. Like a baseball
it's the same
cap or
I
sort
wear
of
every game.
All right.
So what do you want to do? You want to do the football first here, Saul?
No, I want to hear about John. We have found somebody to help. We're worried about you in London all by yourself. And so we've hired Lucy. Lucy's on the internet, and Lucy is all about teaching people how to speak British. So I want you to really feel comfortable while you're there. So here, take a listen to Lucy for a moment.
So the first one is, all right. And this really means, hello, how are you? Some people get confused and think it means, is everything okay? Really, it's a very general question. It's a nice way of greeting somebody. So if you hear someone in the street say, all right, you can say, yeah, how are you? As a response.
All right, John, are you prepared for what happens when somebody says to you, all right?
Yeah, I am now. So how are you?
Great.
Right. They're
That's
not
good.
Asking
Thank you,
like
yeah, good.
Way to go, John.
They're not asking if you're injured. So
you want one more?
If you're over on the Raiders sidelines and somebody pulls a hamstring, don't go over and say all right. They'll assume you're just saying hello to them.
Well, yeah, but I'll be talking to Raider people.
Well, you don't know. It might be security people from London. You don't know who's going to be over there. All right, here's one more for you.
Okay, so the next one is, I'm easy. And this would be something you use when somebody asks you to make a decision and you don't really mind. Would you prefer Italian or Chinese food tonight? I'm easy. It means I don't really mind.
You good with that?
Sure.
John, you don't seem excited about your trip to London.
I'm not, no.
It seems like you're kind of down about it.
It's a long trip.
I know. Do you have a UK adapter for, like, your plugs?
I do now, yes.
All right, well, that's a good
go. I bought it from my next-door neighbor.
I want you to go.
I don't know if I have a UK adapter for the iPhone, but I guess I can plug it in for the, plug it into the computer.
Yeah, I think that's how the adapter works. Like, you take one plug it through the adapter into the wall, and I think you'll be okay.
Is this going to be sloppy football, John? Because this game in London over the years, it's the one thing you've seen almost regardless of which teams are playing. It's been pretty sloppy football.
Yeah, I think it will be because I think there's a good chance it's going to rain. And if it does rain and that field is not the best as far as handling things, I think it is going to be a pretty sloppy game. And again, you know, the way the Seahawks are playing right now, I mean, as much as they're playing better, you know, they are, it's still not the prettiest sight. I mean, they run the ball, they try to force and pound things down. I mean, mean, that's the nature of what they're trying to do. And, of course, the Raiders right now, they're kind of a sloppy team. I mean, Derek Carr has 8 interceptions, 5 of them on first down. This will probably be a very sloppy game.
Hey, so Nick Vinette didn't practice. Do you think he'll be able to play in the game?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, that's good, because without him, they're down to their ninth tight end.
Yeah, it's Darryl Daniels and George Fant. That's all they have.
Sheesh. You think Fant could get out there and catch some passes?
As long as they don't have to go downfield too much.
He's gained some weight since
I mean, let's put it this way. If it's 4 yards downfield, yeah, I think he can do that.
So is Marshawn planning to talk with the media, do you know?
I doubt it.
You don't think so? Even on that stage? Sometimes he kind of likes these stages and a little bit of the attention. When it's, you know, when he can kind of dictate some of that and have that opportunity, he's not always been against that.
No, that's true, but he's still not the best media person. I mean, that's something that is not in his vernacular. It's not in his resume. It's not in his desire. So, I mean, you know everybody's going to be wanting to talk to him, but I would tend to think he's probably not going to talk.
I think it's safe to say that that affected T.O. as far as the Hall of Fame and everything else, and obviously he carried and still carries a bit of a grudge. Do you think the way that Marshawn has just kind of handled some of the media folks will have a negative effect when it comes time to put him in Canton, Ohio?
I hope not, because you can never let that happen. That should be a no-no. I mean, because again, in the case of T.O., the only thing that bled over was the fact that, I mean, he had problems internally in the locker room with his quarterbacks and with his teams. I mean, the two teams that he was primary, San Francisco and Philadelphia, traded him in his prime. In the case of Marshawn, I mean, his dealing with the media, because again, that's considered an off the field thing. And so under no circumstance should it be taken under consideration.
Have you figured out how many...
bad by the voters.
Good. Yeah, he should be in the Hall of Fame. Let's get to the wild card. Okay. Sorry.
Time now for the wild card.
Wild card. Mr. Professor Clayton?
Yes.
What's the secret to traveling well?
The secret to traveling well? Getting there, I guess that's obviously one of the first things, making sure that you can, you know, get there on time. And I guess, you know, I always pack light so that, you know, that doesn't become a problem, because if you lose luggage and stuff like that, that becomes a big problem. So I'm always carrying on. Yep. I think that, you know, trying to get good seats in the plane, that helps out.
Yes.
And then when you get over there to London, I have no clue.
First class to London, John?
No.
Oh, it's too bad.
Unfortunately.
I would upgrade.
First class to Houston, but not first class.
I would upgrade that. I mean, with all the years and years of gigantic money you've made in this business, I would be upgrading to London.
Yeah.
We calculated tens of millions, John.
Tens of millions of dollars you've made. I mean, it's like you and...
That's our database.
You and Sam Bradford, right?
It would be nice, but right now it does not look good.
All right.
Okay.
I don't think they do the upgrades on the international flights. You have to buy them.
John, have a good trip. Okay?
Love you, man.
I hope you enjoy it. We'll hope you get there safe and sound. We'll talk to you soon.
Oh, we'll talk to you tomorrow, right?
Yes. Brock and I aren't in tomorrow.
Oh, you're not in?
You'll be talking to Jake Heaps and to Bob Stelton tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thank you, John. There you go. There's the professor every day at 7:15. He's not in a good place with all this, Brock. He did not seem ready at all for long. Sheesh.
She was nice. What was her name?
That's Lucy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can play some more of Lucy throughout
Uneasy.
The show. She's easy. Right?
Uneasy.
She's pretty easy. Why wouldn't they throw going at the end of that? Like easy going or something. All right. Hey, even if you're in London, you can listen to the show on the 710 Sports app. It is driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. We are going to simulcast here, Brock, in just a moment. We've done this in Arizona. We've done it in Denver. Turns out we also have a new sister station, which is in Sacramento. And if you haven't heard Carmichael Dave, he is a really entertaining, strange, and wonderful human being. He does Morning Drive at our sister station in Sacramento. So he talks Raiders, and we'll simulcast with him to find out about them next here on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
A lot of people texting in this morning, Brock. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Everyone says you got to bring extra socks and extra underwear, just in case. Especially extra socks. Like, what happens if they get wet? You don't have extra socks? You're miserable.
Yeah, I take a risk on that one. I was purposefully kind of quiet. I bring one less pair of drawers. Yeah.
Just to live a little.
Just to live a little.
You like to live on the edge?
Yeah, I do.
But of all the things, that's the one thing. It takes up the least amount of space.
I know, but you can go without, too. Right? I mean, if need be, like, you can go without them.
I don't think I've done that since high school. I can't think of the last time that I went without.
Mike, take a risk.
That's not a risk I'm willing to take.
Level up, Mike.
I like having a significant amount of protection. in that particular region of my body.
Level up.
Yeah, I just feel a little better with protection. All right.
So, Carmichael Dave. Huh?
Yeah, Carmichael Dave is going to be with us in a minute and a half. This is going to be, if you guys don't know, he's at our sister station, The Drive, 1140 KHDK is the name of his show. And
think Young Grass.
What city?
He's in Sacramento. I'm sorry. He's in Sacramento. Thank you, Hattie. So they talk Raiders and Niners. So we're hoping to do this two or three times with them over the course of this season, same as we have in Denver and the same as we have...
A big man crush of yours.
Carmichael Dave?
Yes.
He is. I think he's like outrageously funny. Yes, that's true. He is one of my big man crushes, Brock.
Yeah, when I was down there in Sacramento, during the summer visiting Luke, I did my show down there.
Right.
And it was great to meet him and his crew. He's got a big crew. I mean, he's a solo show, but he messed up. What, six or seven people helping him on
really?
That show? No,
wow.
Actually, absolutely not.
He seems like a guy who just sits there and talks.
But
like
he definitely sneaks
dudes.
A heater every break.
So wow.
He was outside, okay. Getting a little smoky in, so I was chatting with him, and he is a character. He really is a young Dave. I looked at him and was like, man, this is Dave Grosby 15 years ago, who I think also was in the Bay Area.
15 years ago, Gros was young?
15? Kind of.
I don't think so. I think you're going to have to go back
years ago. He's like
years.
25 years old.
Yeah, 10 years ago, the Gros came to work here. Come on, what are you talking about? 15 years ago, the Gros is not a young man.
All right, 25.
All right, whatever. Anyway, so his name is Carmichael Dave. He is the host of The Drive, which is on 1140 KHTK, which is in Sacramento. And they are our new sister station after Bonneville expanded here in the last couple of months. So with that being said, we are pleased to welcome in Carmichael Dave as we all join together in a big simulcast. Good morning. How are you?
What's up, fellas? How are you doing?
How's Raider Nation this morning?
Sad.
Why?
Depressed.
Why are they so sad?
Oh, they're sad because I think John Gruden getting a $100 million deal and Derek Carr, you know, being healthy and, you know, all the things going on. There was a lot of excitement going into this year. And then you pop the balloon when you trade Khalil Mack for, you know, nothing this year. And now they're sitting with a bad record and it's probably going to get worse this weekend.
Is John Gruden going to get run out of, like, are they, how, what's the anger level with John Gruden? If the Raiders weren't going to Vegas, how quickly would John Gruden be out?
Well, the problem is you got, you know, Mark Davis gave $100 million, you know, somewhere around $100 million, a 10-year contract. So you got a lot of money tied into that. Yeah, they're going to Vegas. And I think that Khalil Mack trade was basically them telling Oakland repeatedly, we don't care about you guys. You're a bunch of sheep. You're going to keep being fans regardless of what we do. So we're moving the team to Vegas, but we're going to play here a couple years. We're trading the best player on the team. We're getting draft picks that we probably won't even have until Vegas. And we really don't care about the record this year because you're still going to buy tickets and watch us and buy merchandise. So forget you guys and take what you get. And that's why, again, even though they have maybe a year or two left, they continue to play games in Mexico City. They continue to play games in London. Those are home games that are being taken away from the fans of Oakland.
And yet Carmichael Dave, right in the middle of all of it, is one of Oakland's finest, man. The guy, the beast mode, the Marshawn Lynch that is the very essence of the Bay Area, and a guy that, as you can imagine, this week as the Seahawks get ready to play the Raiders, been kind of an emotional lightning rod of conversation for us up here in town. For everything you said there about the way the organization has treated its fan base, do they love Marshawn the way many of the 12s do up here?
I think they love him as much and in some cases more. And I know I'm on Seattle radio, so let me be careful here.
Why are you going to be careful?
That because I don't want to diminish the love Seattle has for Marshawn because I've felt it. It's insane. Oakland's his home, though. And Oakland, when people think of Oakland nationally, I think they think of like Detroit. Oakland gets a really bad rep and some of it deserved. But people that make it from Oakland and rep Oakland, that is a huge thing to that community. So his homecoming was a massive, massive deal. Now, there was a deal last weekend, and I know him playing for the Seahawks. This is going to be kind of foreign to you guys, but there was a play. It was first and goal on the one, and John Gruden decided to pass the
ball. Unbelievable.
And it was picked off. And I know you guys can't relate.
Oh, my
God. Can you imagine having Marshawn Lynch first and goal on the one and not handing him the ball?
Hey, for the record. For the record, I'll have you know they did hand him the ball on first and goal from the.
That's right.
Point. Hightower made an incredible play.
All right. Anyway,
you know what's sad? I was there. I was
you
literally 200 feet from that
there.
Play.
I was there.
I was at the game. I was 20 rows up. No, I didn't buy the tickets. Okay. I'm not that rich. I was 20 rows away on the side when that happened, and I still can't remember they handed the ball on first and goal.
Is that a sponsor deal? Like all your sponsors, your huge following you have down there.
You know the worst part, the most difficult part when I found out we were simulcasting, yeah. is that, and Brock, I love you. You uh-huh. know this. We bonded over donuts.
Yep.
And but cigarettes. Hearing your voice, well, one-sided, hearing your voice brings back memories, not so distant memories, of being up 27-7 in the third quarter on Saturday. Oh, and what I've had to deal with Bruh. Emotionally all week Bruh. Long. With my Seminoles lost to Miami.
Yeah.
It was, and I talked to Mike about bringing you on. This
yeah,
week.
Why didn't you? I was looking for your text.
Were you worried that your audience didn't care that much about Florida State?
Well, I was gonna, and then I thought
Florida
about
loves
like,
it.
I was like, Brock was on the call. Of course, I got to bring him on and talk about it. Yeah. And then my other side was like, well, what do you want to talk about it for? It sucked. We got the turnover backpack, purse.
Brutal.
Sucks. Backpacks are a big deal here this week. I don't know that you've heard. Marshawn Lynch once gave Doug Baldwin his backpack and earned his undying loyalty. In the meantime, Russell Wilson plays in every game, does everything right, but Doug hates him.
You know, I heard that Marshawn Lynch story, and I relayed also on Twitter, and it's amazing. A lot of people don't realize the depth of Marshawn Lynch. When he was at Cal, there was an undergrad who had a graduate student.
Yes.
Want to get the story right, who had a computer issue, couldn't get through it, and was getting ready to get out of the business. Marshawn Lynch, of all people, actually took this guy aside, helped him work through the coding, sent him on his way. That young man was Bill Gates.
Whoa.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that.
Wow.
People don't know that.
He's going to be nominated for sainthood when this is all said.
He should.
And done. Wow.
St. Sean.
Amazing. St. Sean. I like it.
I know we're supposed to, at some point, we're supposed to have some, like, cross-rivalry smack talk going on, but...
You guys don't have the confidence for that, do you?
No.
It's just really sad. Like, after the Khalil Mack trade and a 1-4 start, it's just very sad.
Yeah.
Well,
but that's fine.
That's the general feeling.
When we do this again in December before the Niners game, you'll probably be talking smack
then,
right?
Oh, then it's on.
You're
right.
Talking to two Niner fans. You're talking to two diehard Niner fans.
I mean, at that point, CJ... What happens when CJ Beathard gets hurt?
The Nick Mullins era begins... is what happens.
I can't wait for that. Nick
I can't
Mullins.
Wait. The biggest storyline coming out of that game will be that it gets flexed out of Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, that's true.
That's it.
So what happens Sunday?
Because Sherman will be
Sunday.
Hurt by then still,
what
right?
What do you guys think happens Sunday? What do you guys think happens Sunday?
Drubbing.
I mean, you've watched the season. The Seahawks are picked to win 4 games this year, guys.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know how... I have no idea how the Raiders are going to stop Russell Wilson. He's just going to get loose everywhere. Chris Carson, I thought, looked really good last weekend. That was a really good game for you guys, honest to goodness. That was a good game. I could tell. That was a lot of, listen, I can't stand the Seahawks as a Niners fan. I hate everything about them.
Why is that? You still hate us?
Of course.
Like, I mean, we lost everybody. You lost Sherm. You lost Marshawn. You lost Michael Bennett. You lost all the talkers.
Who's
Earl
left
broke
to hate?
His leg. Like, why do you hate us?
Pete Carroll.
Yeah, Pete Carroll. Oh. Yeah.
Boom.
Good job looking so young, Pete. You're old. Pete. You're old. Nobody really with your hair.
Did you know that Pete Carroll is older than Mike Shanahan?
I thought Pete Carroll was the oldest coach in the NFL. Isn't that right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Is that right, guys? A few days older than Bill Belichick or something.
How does he stay tan up there? It's like sunny 4 days a year. Well, somehow, he looks like he's still in LA.
I mean, you can ask Brock about using tanning booths around here. They're not that hard to find. How do you think Brock looks so tan when you watched him on the Florida State call this weekend? Sitting here in Seattle.
That was the trouble being around Brock down here. He was like the nicest guy in the world. Like, brought donuts, like made it a point to introduce himself to everyone. But I don't like being around people like Brock. I'm going to tell you why. Because I'm fat and I smoke and I'm just a normal sports donkey. And here's Brock, who's like got like the golden skin.
Annoying.
Yep.
Just a jawline chiseled out of marble.
Well,
he's just
we'll
the nicest.
We'll have Boy Howdy send the, you'll like this, Dave. We'll have Boy Howdy send his mean tweet segment that we did from Florida State fans. And trust me, they don't like me at all. I am a bad, bad human being to many of your Seminole
brethren. At first, I thought you were going to say, we'll send Boy Howdy next time because he looks just just like those guys.
He's a schlub like you. He's perfect for you guys.
Hey, Brock, I'll bet you all those tweets out of Tallahassee were spelled perfectly.
All right.
Yeah, brilliant.
Carmichael Dave and the drive on 1140 KHTK. Hey, it was great seeing your Kings up here on Friday night. They look like they are ready for a playoff atmosphere, oh, I would say. Well, dude, they could beat like 120-2, I think, was the score. They the Washington Generals?
120-6.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Geez,
took it out of my mouth because I was going to say the Washington Generals. You're rolling up there and playing Kevin Durant and the Warriors. That was just lambs to slaughter.
That is sad. Is that really what that team is going to look like this year and like for the next 10?
Yeah, but yeah, that's true. But they'll be looking like that 41 times a year at Golden 1 Center. So you know,
awesome.
Come on,
all right. Was that shade at the
that's
Sonic?
That's really mean.
We made it through the whole thing.
Unbelievable.
All right, guys, enjoy the game. We will try to talk to you before San Francisco, at least in December. Okay.
Hey, you guys are the best.
Thanks, fellas.
There you go. There's Carmichael Dave and the drive on 1140 KHTK. Kyle is his foil there that you heard as well. What do you think, Brock?
Oh, I'm down with Carmichael Dave. What is Kyle and how do you think though? The man crush deserved? What do you think?
I loved it.
Yeah. Like, I really like Carmichael Tate.
I do too.
He's guy's hilarious. Really funny. Everybody on the text machine saying he sounds just like Matt Johnson, though. I hadn't thought of that.
Matt Johnson, yeah.
They do have pretty similar.
But he looks like a young Gross. Like, he really does. Like, those young pictures of Gross. There's a lot of Dave Gross being.
But without the, like, bright blonde hair that the Gross had dyed on there. All right. Well, they're not exactly confident in Sacramento. Will they be more confident if Nick Vanette can't play? What will the Seahawks do? Tune in to Blue 42 next to find out.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, G, U-corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right!
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
All right, time for a little Coors Light's Blue 42. This is where we ask Brock three good football questions. Brock's in Salt Lake City this morning. How about that? We're here in Salt Lake and in Sacramento all at the same time.
Awesome.
A couple of bustling metropolises.
The beauty of technology.
Metropoli, I guess they would be.
Thankfully, Marshawn, you know, hooked up Bill Gates back in college.
It's good.
The programming, the digital world.
I like that.
Made all this happen.
Hey, Sean McDonough's going to join us at 8 o'clock, just so people know. Lydia Cruz, I think, is going to join us at 8:30 from London. Dave Wyman from London at 9 o'clock. It's like guest day
today. It's a connection Thursday.
I don't even know why, but somehow today turned into guest day, which is sort of what it is. All right, let's start with this here, Brock. Question number one. If the Huskies do beat Oregon on Saturday in Eugene, will that be the end of the noise around the criticism for Jake Browning?
No, I don't think, unfortunately, it will. That's just the world that that we live in, and the criticism, or just the critiquing that position and that guy is under all the time. But it will go a long, long ways. And I would argue, save for the Pac-12 title game against Colorado, where actually Jake had to do ultimately very little, but he ended up being the quarterback and winning that game. Outside of that, this game against a top 20 team in their environment with everything on the line, playoffs, the Pac-12 title, Oregon beating them a possibly third straight time, this would be his biggest win. And I don't think that's hyperbole. There was none his first year. The second year was the Pac-12 title game. There have been a few against Washington State. You know, certainly last year, keeping Washington State, really the last 2 years, keeping Wazoo out of that title game, both in Pullman and in Seattle, were big ones. But I think because of the nature of this one, because of what it's going to mean for your play, you are the only hope for the Pac-12 playoff opportunities and chances. This is your senior year. This is what Miles Gaskin came back to school to do, is to finish this season, to finish your career off, and to win in that environment, which is the most hostile on the road. Rice-Eccles is up there. That's probably, you know, 1A. But Autzen Stadium's maybe, you know, I heard a national guy say the other day, it is the loudest 60,000 people stadium in America. And I think there's something to it. It is, man, it is a ferocious place. And if he can get this one, I don't think it will end all the criticism, but it would certainly go a ways to helping his career.
All right, question number two. Some concern that Nick Vanette may not be able to go for the Seahawks on Sunday in London as he's got an injured back and did not practice. Now, if he does go, great. If he can't, what do you do then?
Yeah, it's going to be then Darrell Daniels and George Fant will be your one and two tight ends. It won't keep you out of some of that package. I think you loved, actually, what George Fant did in his 12 snaps. And then you did see Swoops get signed back to the practice squad. And you can activate, I believe, all the way up to Saturday. I don't know if the London and the hours and the time change and exactly what that does to the deadline of when you can activate that player. But I would have to think he's going to make the trip. And depending on how they want to manipulate their actual active roster, if Vinette cannot go, Swoops has background here. He's spent the last 2 years here. He knows the terminology. He knows the plays. He would be a guy that, you'd have to have in an emergency situation be your number three guy if Vinette cannot go. And that's the advantage of having somebody that you've groomed for the last couple years.
All right, question number three. In the history of football, we've talked about some brother combinations, right? Obviously, the Heward brothers have been a bunch of quarterback-playing brothers.
Yeah.
Even the Jones brothers.
The
McCowns, a couple of running backs.
The Hasselbacks, the Mannings, everybody else
but
behind
currently,
us.
Currently, yeah. J.J. Watt and T.J. Watt are tied for the NFL lead in sacks. Each of them have six. If they finish 1-2 in some way in the NFL in sacks this year, is that the greatest feat ever accomplished by brothers in the NFL?
That's a great question.
Jim and John facing off in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was huge.
It's pretty epic.
Is that bigger?
I would think so. Yeah.
Then leading the league 1-2 in sacks?
Yeah.
It's debatable. I'm not saying for sure.
Right. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be one. Yeah, that would be. It would be up there. The Mannings obviously had success, but I don't know if they were ever atop the statistical boards together.
Right,
the
one Hasselbacks. Of them was
terrible. The Hasselbacks were. I mean, Tim was a zero, and Matt was like a 95 rating.
What? Terrible.
They were
poor
on.
Tim.
I think on that Sunday, I
poor
think Tim had a zero rating, and
right.
I had like a 95 rating.
That's just mean.
But yeah, that's pretty cool as they chased that down, and you knew it when T.J. Watt went to Pittsburgh that was the absolute perfect fit for him. Late in the first round, outside pass rusher, very good player. And for J.J. to kind of resurrect his career after a couple injury-riddled seasons, pretty cool deal for the Watt brothers.
All right, there you go. That is today's Coors Light's Blue 42.
I will say this about that matchup, too. And McDonough's going to join us shortly, and we can dig into some of the UW-Oregon game with him. I like to also talk just big-picture college football and getting back into the college football booth after the Monday Night Football booth. So lots to do with Sean. But I'll say this as well. Jimmy Lake and Jim Leavitt, the two D coordinators in that game, two of the five best in all of college football.
Wow.
Yeah, and Jimmy Lake's going to be a head coach here within the next 2 years. Jim Leavitt is a guy that at South Florida built that program, took Colorado right there. I mean, with Mike McIntyre, and you can just ask, some of these Seahawk players and Tedrick in particular, how good a coach Jim Leavitt is. And Jimmy Lake's, resume speaks for itself as far as the development of what he has done.
Jim Leavitt crazy?
Yeah,
he's
nuts.
Punch a player or something.
Yeah, he's pretty nuts.
Also, we're getting a bunch of texts saying, but both the Mannings have Super Bowl rings. Isn't that the most impressive? But do they? Do they really both have Super Bowl rings?
Dude,
both
have two. How excited
are you sure
Eli's
is
Eli
real
tonight?
That he didn't forge his? Like,
excited to watch Eli tonight?
I'm never excited
you
to watch Eli.
You love watching Eli.
Eli's the worst.
Why would we be excited to watch Eli?
I love watching Eli get beat around.
Is the Book of Eli going to be on TV tonight? I would rather watch the movie The Book of Eli than I would watch Eli Manning play football. There's nothing worse in the NFL. All right, we'll talk to Sean McDonough and a whole lot more coming up next here on Brock and Salk.